welcome to This Upbeat Life, the show where we take a light-hearted look at life, what makes us tick, and explore what makes people happy. I'm Simon JJ Green, and I'll be interviewing ordinary people from all walks of life, as well as looking at the latest in wellness, health science, nature, and the quirkier side of the health and well-being industry. Now, please remember that the information and opinions shared on this podcast are for general knowledge and informational purposes only, and do not constitute medical advice. Now, let's get on with today's episode. Hello and welcome to episode 11 of This Upbeat Life. I'm so pleased to have you with me. And on today's show, on quick news, brain gains, why your melon needs exercise. I mean, do you even lift, bro? On The Real Deal, we'll investigate the measles outbreak in the United States and beyond. And on Far Out Stuff, do I have a story for you? The God Molecule. On quick news today, brain gains. Listen up, your brain wants a gym membership. Today we're giving your noodle a little love, and not with puzzles or crosswords or even a Sunday Sudoku, but with something a little more sweaty. Yes, we're talking about exercise. It's not just for your waistline, your heart, or to fit into those jeans from 2012, but for your brain, your noggin, the old coconut. It turns out your brain loves it when you squish yourself into your spandex and leg warmers and move, like your brain genuinely lights up. Now, according to researchers at the Pacific Neuroscience Institute and Washington University in St. Louis, or is it Louis? You know, that place in Missouri with an arch. The researchers say that physical activity doesn't just help us feel better, lose weight, and show off our guns. It actually improves brain structure and function. So if you've ever gone for a run and come back feeling like a genius or being able to solve quantum physics, well, you might be onto something. So how does this all work? Well, regular aerobic exercise appears to protect the grey and white matter in our brains. And the grey matter are those all-important brain cells, not something you sweep out of the corners. They'll have a feeling that's what's in my brain. Corners are dusty. It's the stuff that processes information and keeps you thinking clearly. White matter is the brain's communication network, sort of like a high-speed internet cable connecting everything. And exercise keeps that signal strong. In the Washington University study, which involved nearly 10,000 adults, researchers found that physical activity was strongly associated with better brain health, even after adjusting for factors like age, weight, smoking, and other lifestyle quirks. In other words, people who move more think better. I mean, I've often gone for a run, and in amongst the thoughts of what on earth are you doing, you donut, I have mentally sorted out my day and promptly forgotten it all when I finish the run. But that's beside the point. And it doesn't have to be marathon-level stuff either. Moderate, consistent activity is key. A brisk walk, a cycle around the park, dancing terribly but enthusiastically in your kitchen, I don't judge, it all counts. Your brain just wants you to get moving. But here's where things get really interesting. So what if we introduce some dumbbells? I mean, why are they called dumbbells, you know? If we introduce dumbbells, you know, the kind you buy and then leave in the corner thinking, one day I'll pick them up, and they end up being doorstops. No, not that I would know anything about that. Well, a separate study recently in 2025 looked at resistance training, yes, lifting weights, and found that it can slow brain aging and maybe even help protect against Alzheimer's disease. That's right. Lifting weights isn't just about building muscles, it's about building sort of cognitive resilience, I guess. Other researchers from the University of Sydney found that even low-frequency weight training, just a couple of sessions a week, helped participants maintain and even improve cognitive function over time. And the most remarkable part? These benefits lasted even a year after the training program ended. Now, I think this is worth repeating. People who lifted weights just twice a week saw improvements in memory and mental function that persisted long after they'd put the kettlebells down. Like going to the gym and getting a brain bonus that lasts all year. And before you worry about having to become a bodybuilder, know this. The weights don't have to be heavy. The key is resistance, challenging the muscles just enough to stimulate both body and brain. It can be dumbbells, resistance bands, or even a cans of soup if you're improvising at home. Your brain is remarkably low maintenance when it comes to gym equipment. So, to recap, move more, think better, lift things, anything but cookies, and potentially shield your brain from the effects of aging. It's like a health plan for your brain pan. Okay, that wasn't great. Now, I get it. Some days just putting on your socks feels like doing cardio. But knowing that a bit of movement might help keep your mind sharper, your memory stronger, and your brain better protected against future decline, surely that's powerful motivation. And it's not too late. If you haven't moved in a while, then start slowly before you build up to bigger and better targets. And if you're still unsure, then consult your healthcare professional for advice. So let's get up and take your noodle for a walk around the block. Or have a dance break between emails. Or do a few squats while the kettle boils. Just do it. For your brain. Because it's in there, cheering you on, neuron by neuron. On The Real Deal, a nation exposed, the political fallout of America's measles resurgence. U.S. measles cases reach a 33-year record high as outbreaks spread, The Washington Post. The U.S. just recorded the most measles cases in 30 years, Vox. Measles cases hit 25-year high in the U.S. Symptoms and risk zones explained, Times of India. U.S. posts the highest annual measles case tally in 33 years amid Texas outbreak, The Guardian. U.S. measles cases hit a 6-year high at 1,277 cases, John Hopkins data shows, from Reuters. U.S. measles outbreak is largest since disease was declared eliminated in 2000, CNN. These are all recent news headlines, and today we're talking about measles. You'd never have guessed. The disease we thought we'd shown the door in 2000. It turns out it's let itself back in, and it didn't even knock. Too late. So when I was a kid in the 1960s, it was standard practice in the UK to have measles and chickenpox parties. The parent of an infected child would invite all their friends and children around for a portion of cake and ice cream, and diseases like measles. Probably more than half the kids would get infected, have measles with a temperature and a rash, and that was it. I went to a party as a kid, but never contracted the measles. But I did catch it in some remote ski resort in Switzerland when I was 18. It was lovely. The staff isolated me in my room for 10 days with full room service and free TV. But before we kick off, I just want to point out that I'm neither pro nor anti-vaxxer. I'm on the fence, purely because, like everything in health that's health-related, there is so much contradictory and, quite frankly, bewildering advice and science. Yes, measles is the thing again, but why? Why has it come back after being declared eliminated 25 years ago? Well, it's like this. In the year 2000, America declared victory over measles. Doctors, scientists, and public health nerds everywhere cheered. It was a massive win. No more continuous transmission of the virus. Goodbye itchy rash, high fever, and overly concerned grandparents. Now fast forward to 2025, and the US especially is experiencing its worst measles outbreak in more than three decades. At the time of recording, over 1,200 cases have been confirmed this year, mostly in children, and unfortunately three people have died in the States and one in the UK. And the biggest cluster? Well, that's happening in West Texas, with more than 750 cases reported in one outbreak alone. It's now popping up in neighbouring states like Oklahoma, New Mexico and Kansas, like a very unwelcome festival tour. Now, we know that measles is one of the most contagious viruses around. If an infected person enters a room, 90% of unvaccinated people in that room are likely to catch it, sort of like the virus equivalent of an overenthusiastic party guest, snotty with cold, who refuses to leave and insists on hugging everyone. Now, to keep it from spreading, public health experts say we need to have about 95% of the population vaccinated with the MMR vaccine. That's measles, mumps and rubella shot. But US vaccination rates have slipped to about 92.7% amongst toddlers. Some states are much lower. And that drop, even though it doesn't sound very much, they say makes a big difference. So, if parents are reluctant to have their children vaccinated, then why is that? Well, partly it's to do with politics, because sadly we can't talk measles in America without also talking vibes. I personally think that everyone is entitled to their opinion, and this is why we live in the free world. But if you're going to be the health spokesperson for your head of state and represent the people, then you'd better get your facts right. Enter Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary for Health and Human Services. Kennedy is an anti-vaxxer and has been saying things about measles that health experts say are not at all accurate. In many of his interviews, he's been quoted as saying that poor diet is the cause of severe cases of measles and that cod liver oil and vitamin A can dramatically reduce measles deaths. He's also quoted as saying that while vaccines prevent illness, they can also cause severe illnesses and even death, but did not provide any evidence to back up his statement. Now, the World Health Organization recommends a couple of doses of vitamin A if you have had measles to help prevent eye problems and blindness. But vitamin A is not an antiviral solution and can be dangerous if taken in large doses. Now, public trust in health institutions has taken a beating over the past few years. The pandemic scrambled a lot of things, but among the worst side effects was a huge increase in something called vaccine hesitancy. Now, you can imagine, throw in a newly elected US administration that's been, shall we say, less than enthusiastic about vaccines, and you've got a problem. This year, the White House appointed a health secretary with a history of vaccine skepticism, and so budget cuts followed. Now, the CDC's wings got clipped. Local health departments lost support, and some states started rolling back school immunization rules. Now, if we add that to a growing social media wildfire of misinformation, some of it laughably wrong, some of it dangerously convincing, and it's no surprise that vaccine uptake is stalling, especially in politically conservative areas. And just like that, there's the old measles waiting in the wings, rubbing its metaphorical hands together, and suddenly it's everywhere. Now, the reality is that there have been 4 deaths so far this year, all related to complications from measles rather than directly from the disease itself. And people with compromised immune systems are particularly at risk. Now, adding to all this, we can ask, what does the future hold? Well, I'm glad you asked. Researchers at Stanford University recently modelled what might happen if vaccine rates keep slipping. And if uptake drops just by 10%, we could see about 11 million cases of measles in the US over the next 25 years alone. And as The Economist put it, a preventable disease is on the march and politics is helping it along. Now, over here in the UK, you might be thinking, well, that's America. They've got their own problems. Over here, we're more sensible, right? Well, mostly. But the UK isn't out of the woods just yet. MMR uptake here has been falling in some parts of the country, especially in inner London like Hackney, which has the lowest vaccine uptake in the UK, and parts of the West Midlands. And there has already been one death. Now, the NHS has launched emergency catch-up campaigns, and Public Health England has been politely reminding us again and again that vaccines are safe, effective, and free. So it seems to me that measles is back, but not because science failed, but because trust did. Now, this outbreak is a reminder. Public health only works when people work together. Unfortunately, in this world of misinformation and disinformation, we have to do our own research to be sure, not just blindly follow what Big Brother says. Easier said than done. I mean, gone are the days where we could just assume that whatever the government says is gospel. So your average punter is going online to find the answers to make up their own minds. What are they presented with? An absolute circus where anti-vax influencers are the ringmasters and real science is buried in wackadoodle nonsense. So at the end of the day, the only person who can decide is you. My mantra is to ask the 2 W's. Why and where's the proof? Now, if you want to know more about measles and how it could affect you or your child, then I've put some links in the show notes. And just in case you didn't know, a red spotty face is so last year. And far out stuff today, the God Molecule. Have you ever wondered what happens when you mix highfalutin wellness vibes and a desert toad? Psychedelics, bro. Today we're looking at 5-MeO-DMT, or 5-MeO-DMT. That makes me laugh. The active constituent of toad venom, also called the God Molecule. So what's this all about? Why are people getting high on toads? You know, the poor Sonoran desert toad, or Bufo alvarius, gets milked for its secretions just behind its eyes, and no, not like a cow, and that white chalky residue is dried on a piece of glass, scraped off and then smoked. Now, as someone who hasn't done drugs, I am fascinated to know who it was back in the 1970s, looked at a Sonoran desert toad and thought to themselves, that little guy's hiding something psychedelically awesome and I want it. I'm going to lick the toad. Now, this white chalky dried substance has been hailed as a turbocharged microsession of transcendence. The active compound, that's the 5-MeO-DMT, a cousin of DMT that's so potent, it's nicknamed the Mount Everest of psychedelics. Now, this stuff hits hard. Instantly. Users report an almost total blackout of the ego, a plunge into a void described by some as a whiteout or a nothingness, and a return in just 10 or 20 minutes, sometimes with tears of bliss or with horror. Think less fairy dust visuals, more cosmic void. Unlike LSD, there are no reports of flashbacks further down the line. So, real effects or real risks? A European observational study let 42 volunteers inhale dried Sonoran toad vapour and within 24 hours and even 4 weeks later, participants reported higher life satisfaction, reduced anxiety, depression and stress, and remarkably, improved mindful thinking and convergent thinking tasks, whatever that means. So, the mystical trip isn't just a feel-good for 5 seconds. It might, just might, nudge mental health long-term, especially for people who suffer from PTSD. But of course, there's a flip side. Doses aren't standardized. So one user might get a whisper of 5 micrograms. Another can get a throat-searing 36 micrograms. Some facilitators eyeball it. So there's no surprise that episodes of panic, confusion, physical weakness, or nausea have been reported. But it's not just your everyday punters that are looking for a toke of amphibian secretions. Heavy hitters like Mike Tyson have tried it, over 50 times apparently, reporting life-altering shifts out of substance addiction and into emotional calm. Meanwhile, comedian Eric Andre says he smoked toad venom and had Thanksgiving dinner with God. One minute he's in the galaxy's buffet, the next, who knows? After the users have had their hits, they report lasting inner peace, often calling the toad venom the God molecule. But there's the darker side. Speed toading tourists in Tulum, Mexico, report vomiting, loss of breath, terror, and even hospital trips. And some self-styled shamans, like Mexico's Octavia Rettig, have been accused of emotional and physical coercion mid-ceremony. There is one viral clip where he's pouring water down a participant's throat to revive them. Now, in the United States, most states, and in England, toad venom is classed as a Class A drug. And so people go abroad to other places like Mexico, for example, and South America. And these psychedelic toad rituals can cost in the region of about £200 a go. I have a feeling the toads don't see any financial benefits. Now, whether seen as a crazy meditative high or a fast track to trauma, this trend is a mixed bag. Ecological worries abound too. Bufo alvarius was last assessed in 2004, and with rising demand, unsustainable collection could harm the wild populations of the toads. Now, some facilitators are now setting up huge farms of these toads, which also sounds worrying. I mean, can you imagine the job advert? Person wanted to massage and milk toads, no experience necessary. Now, is there a silver lining? Well, there is a synthetic version of 5-MeowDMT. And this offers dose control, standardized purity, and it's safer for people and the toads. So let's do a quick FAQ. So what is bufo or toad? This is the dried secretion from a toad smoked to vaporize 5-MeowDMT, and then you get a high. The effects: ego obliteration in a minute. Sensation lasts 10 to 20 minutes. And the risks: possible panic, nausea, trauma, unsupervised dosing. Any benefits? Well, some users report improved mood and mindfulness for some time. Is it ethical? Not for the poor toads, no. Is there a better alternative? Well, there's the synthetic version, which offers measured doses and it's safer and more sustainable. So, is smoking toad venom the future of fast-track enlightenment or just a totally wild wellness fad? Sorry. Well, if you have tried the toad, drop me a line at thisupbeatlife@gmail.com and let us know all about what the trip was like. I'd love to know. And just before we hop off this riveting topic, I'll stop. A quick public service announcement. The Sonoran Desert Toad may sound like nature's answer to a wellness retreat in one slimy package, but be warned, this little guy is packing venom that's highly toxic to pets. Yes, your dog may be all zen with a tennis ball, but if it mouths one of these toads, it's less enlightenment and more emergency vet at 3 a.m. Symptoms can hit fast, like foaming at the mouth, twitching, confusion. Basically, your dog becomes an unwilling participant in a bad rave. And humans don't get smug. If you go poking one of these toads with bare hands or try to handle one, like it's some kind of squishy guru, you could wind up with a mouthful of regret, dizziness, nausea, or worse. These toads don't do casual friendships. So remember, love the toad. Respect the toad, but maybe don't lick the toad. And remember, happiness and enlightenment is the best medicine. Okay, that wraps up the show for today. Thanks for your time and for listening. As always, I'd appreciate it if you could like, follow and subscribe to my show, This Upbeat Life, so I know I'm on the right track. And even better, leave a review and share it with your friends. Now here on This Upbeat Life, you can share your thoughts, you can ask questions, and be part of our growing community. And if you've got a story for Far Out Stuff, or you just want to get in touch with your health and wellness stories and ideas, then email me at thisupbeatlife@gmail.com and I'll read it out on the next show. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram as This Upbeat Life and on Blue Sky as Simon JJ Green. And until next time, remember, happiness is the best medicine.